Let me welcome you to the Sunday School Hour this morning here at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. Glad to have you here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning and we want to thank you for another day to live, to walk, to breathe. Lord, to be here on this Lord's Day in this local church. We thank you for our country, America. We thank you for our freedoms. We thank you for our founding and our heritage. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for these that are here today. We thank you for those that may be watching by way of live stream at home, perhaps just sick today, as some are, perhaps out of town working, no good local church to go to, perhaps, Lord, just not able to come due to some physical challenges. And we pray that today's services would be an encouragement, would be a blessing and a challenge. Lord, we're thankful that you have called us to gather together, Lord, if at all possible, in person on the Lord's Day, Lord, to worship and assemble together, Lord, to worship you. Lord, I pray we've come today. I pray we'll right now meditate on your goodness and greatness and majesty. And Lord, we would have come on this day to worship you. Lord, I pray we've also come today to minister, not to see what we can get out of the service or what we can get out of the lesson or how many people are going to come talk to us, but Lord, that we have come to minister today. We've come to encourage others, to help others, to, Lord, to say an encouraging word, to be a challenge, to be a blessing, to be a friend. Lord, I pray we come every day to minister. And Lord, we do pray that you would speak to our hearts, certainly through the word of God that you laid on Brother Shane's heart for Sunday School Hour and then this morning's service. I pray we'd be hungry for the word. I pray we'd be quick, Lord, and humble. If your spirit pricks our heart in any area, Lord, I pray if there be any among us today that are not believers, that have never trusted Christ, need to be born again, they'd be born again today. I pray you'll be with our teachers as they teach the Sunday school lesson. They teach with excitement and enthusiasm. I pray they love their students. And I pray that the word of God would be taught, Lord. And I pray that even our classes, there be boys and girls that come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, to walk with you, Lord, if they're saved already. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is serving you, Lord, today. We pray again. We ask your blessing on all that's done on this day, the Lord's Day, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Miss McKenna is going to come ready to go. Who's got a praise or testimony today? Wants to start some things off? You want to give God the glory, give him the praise? Anyone today? Who wants to be the first one today? All right. Miss McKenna over here. Chris, great to see Miss Chris back with us after being out for a little while with recent surgery.
I thank and praise God for getting me through the surgery, and it's the first time I've had general anesthesia and not gotten sick. It was a blessing, since you weren't supposed to bend your head any place or sneeze, and the Lord kept me for 8 days without having to sneeze. So it's, and I thank everyone for the prayers. It's just a comfort knowing that people are praying and that you have a loving God that will take care of you no matter what happens. And I'm just grateful that it has taken care of a lot of the sinus headaches. So there's still a lot of healing to do, but I praise God for his grace and his mercy and his healing.
Amen. All right, amen. Keep her in your prayers. Still some recovery, but glad that she is here today and doing well. Anyone else today? Who'll be next? Word of praise, word of thankfulness to the Lord, blessing, verse God's used. Anyone else today? Looking around, looks like some tired folks perhaps today. Weary, sitting in, the Lord's help. Anyone else at all? All right, we'll stay right here.
A job that I'm working on, they were putting in propane tanks, two gentlemen, Mike and Ralph. And so I thought, well, they have to be there a while, so I'll see if I can talk to them. And when they split up and one guy headed out, Mike was there, and I said to him, so Mike, how long have you been with the company? And he said, 9 months, and then that was it. And he turned around and came back to work and nothing. I said, well, that didn't work. So, and then the other guy came back and I thought, well, let's try something. And but I came up with, so Ralph, how long you been with the company? And he said, oh, 3.5 years. And then he just went on and on and on. I kind of met somebody who was like me, just tell them the first sentence and just back off and they'll keep talking. So after a while, I then said, he said, I've done everything, I've been here, I've traveled here, I did all that stuff. And then he said, I've pretty much done it all. And I said, so, when this whole life is all over, what do you think is going to happen? He said, I can't wait to meet Jesus. He had known that what I was up to before I knew that he knew what I was up to. And so from there on in, Mike, who was doing all the physical work, we kind of did a quiet tag team, asking one another questions, kind of giving out the gospel without letting it know that we were concerned about Mike. And so then I let them be, and when they were finally finished, I came over and I looked, and I noticed something, but I didn't say anything. And I said, good job, guys, and good seeing you. And they were concerned about moving on to their next job because that was a Monday, and we were about to get into that stormy weather, and they wanted to get that in before time came. Well, that night, as I go over my day, and I thank the Lord for things that have happened and given me the opportunity to talk, and for the fact of just being uplifted by another Christian that you don't usually meet along the way. And I said, but Lord, you know, I really wanted to talk to that Mike again on a one-on-one because I feel like I didn't do as good a job as I should have. Well, the next day, after we went to doctor's appointments and things of that sort, I happened to be at the house and I hear that familiar sound of the backup when a truck's backing up and they've got the beep, beep, beep thing. And I look out, it's the same company, they're back again. So I come back and I look, it turns out there's only one of them in there. Guess who it is? It's Mike. Mike said, you know, I said, what seems to be the problem? He said, when we put the two tanks in, and this is the thing I had noticed, they were level in terms of standing straight, but they weren't the same height. The two of them weren't the same height. And they have to send their pictures back to the company, and the company demands that if it's not done the way we want it, you go back and fix it. And he said, I have to come back and make the two tanks the same height. And I thought, Lord, I don't even know how to thank you for this. And when I let him do what he was doing, and then when he got finished, I had a chance to just talk with him, go through it all, little by little, you know, and it just was such a blessing that the Lord didn't forget, obviously, and he gave me the opportunity I asked for, and you just can't ask for more than that. Until later on that evening when we went to eat, and a waitress came by us and came and sat down next to me. And we did the same thing again, and it was like overwhelming for just one day, but praise the Lord for it all.
Amen. Opportunities abound. Let's make sure we're ready for those.
And we'll be jumping around our Bibles today for a Sunday school lesson, and so let's go ahead and start with Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start here and have a word of prayer and get right into a lesson today. Hope it helped. Hope it'll be a blessing. Going to do more Sunday school style of teaching rather than preaching. Going to save that for the morning message. And we'll do a little study on faith. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Well, familiar verse on faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we can look into the Word of God this Sunday school hour. Lord, we pray that you would open up our eyes, our understanding. Help me, Lord, to be clear in the teaching of thy word. Help us to understand the various scripture passages that we turn to, and it might be a help for us and might understand these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, how many of you ever write a list of things that you got to do? All right. Some, yeah, write lists. All right. Sometimes the lists are good if you do them, right? All right. How many of you, your wife writes you a list? All right. Nobody wants to raise their hand, right? And so, thankfully, my wife does not write me lists of things to do. And but maybe, perhaps, in your home, there's a list of things that have to be done. And now, how many of you, when you write a list, you prioritize your list? All right, what's most important, all right? And if you don't get certain things done, you got to at least get the most important thing done, right? And oftentimes what makes that most important sometimes is the most needed, because it's happening right now, it has to be done before somebody comes over. Various things can be a reason to be at the top of the list. But certainly top of the list is what we would call the priority. Now, if we were to look at the different doctrines of the Scripture and say, boy, salvation's a top priority, the Scriptures, I think we would look also that faith would be on the top of the list. Wouldn't you agree? Faith is an important doctrine. Unfortunately, many times misunderstood, and many people often will think of faith only as religion. You are of the Protestant faith, you are of the Catholic faith, you are of the Methodist faith. And so a belief system they also describe as faith, but I want to look at kind of the Bible idea of faith. We know it is a high priority, because if we were to look into our New Testament, we would find that Jesus alone speaks often of faith. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew, if you will. Turn with me, if you will, through the Bible. I believe it's helpful to read the Scriptures with our own eyes as we see them. So Matthew chapter 6 will be where we start here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30, we're going to see the Lord Jesus speaks about faith. It says in Matthew 6:30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Understand, speaking to his disciples, following him, not just for the miracles, but also for the teaching. They believed on him. And he says to his own disciples, "God will take care of you, O ye of little faith." Turn over to Matthew chapter 8, verse number 10. Just a page over probably in your Bible, maybe two. It says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Again, mentioning faith. Verse 26 of the same chapter says, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was a great calm." Again, Jesus commenting on people's faith, some great, some little. Chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy and lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Here Jesus marvels at the faith of those carrying this sick man upon a bed. Chapter 9, verse 22, same chapter. "But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Again, Jesus mentioning of her faith. Same chapter, verse 29. "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." We'll jump over a couple chapters to chapter 14. Verse 31 in your Bibles. It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" Chapter 15, next chapter, verse number 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Chapter 16, verse number 8. "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread?" Question mark. Chapter 17, verse 20. "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible unto you." And lastly, we'll turn to chapter 21, verse 21 of this chapter. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, He shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if he shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Here we can agree that Jesus speaks quite a bit on faith, does he not? This is just the book of Matthew. We go to the other Gospels. We go to other mentions. Jesus speaks much on faith. In fact, in the New Testament, there are 239 verses that speak specifically, use the word faith. The Greek word is pistis. It is found 244 times in those 239 verses. Of the 244, 239 are translated the English word faith. So by far the majority time of this Greek word is used, it is used as faith. Now that's interesting how important faith is and how much it is mentioned here. We find the power of faith, or how it is used. It is used for the remission of sins. We find in Acts 10:43 and Romans 3, verse 25. It is in correspondence with our justification. Acts 13, verse 39, salvation. Mark 16:16, Acts 16:31. It speaks that of our sanctification in Acts 15:9 and Acts 26:18. It is that which is referred to as rest in heaven in Hebrews 4 and verse 3. Faith is used for edification in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 4 and Jude verse 20. Faith is used to express the preservation in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. Faith is used to correlate the adoption unto children in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. And faith also is the expression of our access to God in Ephesians 3 and verse 12. And probably one of the famous verses for faith is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, is it not? For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we see definitely there's quite an importance in the New Testament on faith. Now, would you be surprised to find out that the word faith in the Old Testament is only used two times? It seems to be used in abundance in the New Testament, but not in the Old Testament. In fact, only two verses use the English word faith. Let's turn to the first one. That'll be Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 20. Here the Bible says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. The very first mention of the English word faith in our Old Testament. This Hebrew word is pronounced emun. The Hebrew word is translated five times. It has another word of the same root that is translated 49 times. So in total, we have 54 times this Hebrew word is used in the Old Testament, but only two times is it translated into the English word faith. This is one in the book of Deuteronomy. We will take of the five turns of emun that is translated, this one-time faith, it is also translated three times as faithfulness, one time as truth, and one time as faith. Let us look now to Isaiah chapter 26. Please follow along. You might say this is a lot of school-type teaching. Well, there'll be a purpose to it, as you will see. I want to connect the dots. I believe it'd be a help, be a blessing as we pull all this together in the end. So Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 2. You see in your Bibles it says, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. The word truth here is the same Hebrew word that refers in Deuteronomy 32, verse 20, which says, children in whom there is no faith. Here, the same Hebrew word is translated truth. Interesting. Let us see now in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14 and verse number 5. Proverbs 14, 5, the Bible says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Can anybody guess the Hebrew word for faith used here? Anybody? Faithful is correct. So the word faithful is the same Hebrew word, emun, that is translated as faith in Deuteronomy 32, 20, children in whom there is no faith. It is the same Hebrew word as used in Isaiah 26, 2, which keepeth the truth may enter in, and now a faithful witness. Let's put these verses together for a bigger understanding of this Hebrew word. Translated three different ways, but we see they're all related. Note, if you will, Proverbs 14:5, where I have left you, the Bible says, a faithful witness will not lie. Okay, so the idea here is a faithful or a truthful witness, or one that speaks the truth. You would agree, wouldn't you? So understand how the word truth can be interchanged for the word faithfully, or a faithful witness. So truth or a faithful witness. Now this corresponds also with the idea of faith, children in whom there is no faith. So this concept of faith involves truth, absolute truth, one that will not lie, one that is not fake, one that is not a fraud. And so this Hebrew word of faith is more than just the concept of believing, but it's a believing very particular to absolute truth, you will see. Now we're going to go to the other Hebrew word, and it will support the same idea. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Right after Nahum. If you're like me, you got to start with the beginning of the minor prophets and say them in your head till you get to Habakkuk. Chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not right in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This Hebrew word, emunah, is the same root word of the word we already looked at, but this word is used 49 times throughout the Old Testament. It is translated 18 times as faithfulness, 13 times as truth, 5 times as faithfully, 5 times as office. Interesting. 3 times faithful, faith. 1 time stability, 1 time steady, 1 time truly, 1 time. So let's look at a few of these, if you will. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy now. I told you I'd have you turn in your Bibles today, wouldn't I? Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're in the teaching phase of the lesson. We'll get to the preaching phase in a little while. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 4. Here the Bible says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Anybody raise their hand and tell me what is the Hebrew word here for truth translated as? Mr. Parent, that is correct, truth. Let's turn now to the book of 2 Kings. We'll find yet a different one. Second Kings chapter 12. Verse number 15, if you will. Here the Bible says, moreover, they reckoned not with the men in whose hand they delivered the money and bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Anybody have an idea what this Hebrew word is translated as? Laura? Faithfully is correct. The same Hebrew word translated faith, the just shall live by his faith, is now translated that they have dealt faithfully. All right, let us now go to 2 Chronicles. After Kings comes Chronicles. This is an interesting one. Chapter 31, 2 Chronicles 31, verse number 18 in our Bibles. Second Chronicles 31:18, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, throughout all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. Anyone have an idea what the Hebrew word here for faith is translated as? Somebody different? What we got? Holy, not holiness. What do we got? Not sanctified. What's that? Not genealogy. Laura? Office is correct, yep. And so the actual Hebrew word here is office. Now that wouldn't be one you naturally think of, but we'll kind of explain that when we get to the end of this. So now let's go to Psalm chapter 89. Psalm chapter 89. Psalm 89 and verse number 1. There's a song written after this psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. It should all be an easy one. Which word here is translated? The word faith is translated as what? Faithfulness. All right, it is faithfulness. Turn now to Psalm 100, just a few pages over. Psalm number 100, verse number 5, it says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Anybody know the Hebrew word for faith translated here? Right. Yeah, again, truth, correct. The word truth is used here. We got one more, Jeremiah chapter 5. I just selected some. There's 49 options. I only picked about six of them. So Jeremiah chapter 5. Say Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Anybody know the word used here? Yes, John. Truth is correct, all right? So we see these translated, this Hebrew word that is used in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith, is spoken of as truth in Deuteronomy 2, verse 4. 2 Kings 12:15 dealt faithfully. 2 Chronicles 31:18 in their set office. Psalm 89 and verse 1, faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 105, everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And Jeremiah 5, verse 1, the truth. Now, this is interesting. Various uses. How do we get an understanding of this word faith from words that are translated as truth, faithfully, faithfulness, office, and truth? Well, the idea is this. This faith that is spoken of must be that which is true. And not just any truth, but one that is established, one that is absolutely true. It is not subjective truth, it is absolute truth. This concept is solidified for us in the concept of the office. Here it says in Chronicles 31:18, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness, meaning it was established, it was settled, it was an unchanging position, it was their set office. So this idea of faith is a faith that does not change. It is a faith that is absolutely true. And so it is known as those that are faithful or full of faithfulness. And so this is the Old Testament concept of truth. Now, interesting though, it's only used two times in the Old Testament. And you say, well then, was faith a great topic of the Old Testament? Well, in fact, it surely was. Turn back with me where we started, to Hebrews chapter 11. Though the actual English word is only used twice in the Old Testament, we are going to see from Hebrews chapter 11 that almost all the examples, nearly most of the examples used as what we call heroes of faith, are New Testament or Old Testament examples. Old Testament examles. So though the word itself is not used in an abundance, we find the example is greatly shown to us in the book of Hebrews. In fact, the book of Hebrews itself is a wonderful explanation and commentary on the Old Testament itself. So note, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. And here's the first example, if you will. Verse number 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, testifying of his gifts. And by it, being dead, yet speaketh. All right, the very first example we find in the Old Testament is Cain and Abel. Really, Abel is the man of faith. Now, that's interesting. It's a wonderful commentary on the Old Testament. If I just read the Old Testament and just read the story of Cain and Abel, who can give me a description of what Cain was? What was Cain's job? The Bible says he was a keeper of something. Who can tell me who Cain was a keeper of? Keeper of the ground. He was a farmer. That's right. So, and then what was Abel a keeper of? Cattle, right? And so we got one's the keeper of cattle and one's the keeper of sheep. And both came to bring a sacrifice unto the Lord, right? And so one brought of their substance, which was of the field, and the other one brought their substance, which was of the cattle. And on the apparent eyesight, just looking at it humanly, humanly speaking, we say, well, perhaps they both were just giving their best. Maybe, perhaps, they both were sincere. Now, I'm just guesstimating here a little bit, but you can understand how people looking at things might see things this way. They say, well, that was what he was doing, that's what he was in charge of, and so he brought to God the best of his crops. And so, boy, that was a nice thing for him to do. The other one brought the best, perhaps, of the flocks that he had unto God. And we would say, but the Lord had respect unto one and not unto the other. And someone might look at that and say, well, God's showing favoritism. You know, why is he's okay with his and not with his. You know, any kid in the family would be like, that's not fair, right? Any of you kids ever say to your parents, that's not fair? Yeah, why does he get to do that? Why does she get to do that? Maybe humanly speaking, we could think that way. But now that we've provided the commentary we find in the book of Hebrews, we know of absolute certainty the difference between their two sacrifices is that one was done in faith. Now, remember this idea, the Old Testament faith is, what's connected to faith? Truth is connected to faith. All right? So we have this idea here. Here is Abel bringing his, and we know he's a man of faith, absolutely, because the book of Hebrews tells us he offers his sacrifice. He's an example of faith. So we know that what he has done, he is believing something, and that belief is based upon truth, absolute truth. That means Abel knew something, and he was acting upon what he knew. This helps fill in the gaps for us, doesn't it? Because we see here that he brought a sacrifice of an animal. Now, we do know from his parents that when they sinned, God had to kill an animal for the covering of their skin. We understand that God gave Adam and Eve a prophecy that through the seed of the woman, it shall bruise the head of the serpent, and that there would be a Savior that would come. She thought her firstborn son, God's given me a man. Perhaps she thought that was going to be the one, but that was not God's plan. But we find what happens here is that they had the example, and God spoke directly, we know, both to Adam and Eve, and we find that he speaks directly to Cain in that chapter as well. So we see how God is dealing with man at that time. And so what we know is that God revealed something to Adam and Eve and to Cain and Abel, and that was what an acceptable sacrifice was. Because when Cain brought his sacrifice, it was done as an example of faith, and that faith is connected to truth, is it not? Always in the Old Testament. So we know that his sacrifice was a sacrifice of faith, meaning that he believed God and he acted upon it. Here's Cain on the other side. He is not an example of faith. Why? Because he did not follow what he knew God required. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And so we know that he was not the man of faith. So faith is connected directly to the actions. It is connected directly to the truth that is revealed unto them. And you say, wait a minute, God didn't tell us in the Old Testament, he didn't tell us the story when he told Cain and Abel about when and what type of sacrifice to bring. You're correct. We don't find that written for us. But Hebrews chapter 11 makes it clear because he was a man of faith. And we know the Old Testament concept of faith connected to truth that God had revealed to them. Therefore, Abel offered his sacrifice in obedience to God, and Cain did not. Cain represents the one who offers a sacrifice that he thinks is best, as opposed to what God thinks is best. So we see this first example. Now we go to, continuing on, chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 5. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Again, even we go back to the Old Testament, we don't find faith mentioned him, but here in the book of Hebrews, he is worth the mention of a full testimony because he believed the words of God. So important is faith. It was important for Abel. It was important for Enoch. And it's important for us as well. Now, do we find that we have some priorities in our life? And some priorities might be if we know we might want to please somebody in something. For example, if you are married, you do know what might please your spouse. If you're a child, you might know what pleases your parents. I remember probably my parents' favorite Mother's Day, Father's Day gift was when I came home from Sunday school with a little pill bottle, and inside of it, little pieces of paper that were all rolled up. And inside of it was, I will clean my room. Inside of it was, I will do this, I will do that. And they were like chore offerings, if you will. And I will clean the bathroom. I will, you know, whatever the activity might be. And so I remember there was a time that my parents were really frustrated with me about cleaning my room and getting my room clean, and they came to me and they said, oh, Shane, look, we found this. Here you go. We're using this. I wasn't too excited, to be honest, at the time. And but nevertheless, you might say, well, that'd be a great gift to please your parents. Now, for your spouse, Katie was just happened to be with her family just a little bit ago. I had not planned this with the Sunday school lesson. But she was away. And so when she's away, I know there's some things that if they're done, she'd be really happy about. And so when she was came home, all the dishes were cleaned. I did all the dishes. And I straightened things up. And the room was all clean. Bed, of course, made the bed when I got up anyways. But, you know, there's this bunch of things. Usually, I'm the first one out of bed. She usually makes the bed because she's the last one out. So I was just kind of last one out of bed, makes the bed, you know, kind of thing. And so I do know that there's certain things that would please her. It makes her really happy. Now, you know your spouse, and you know if you were to do something when she's away, you know, clean the bathroom, whatever the case is, and she get all excited. And boy, we do know how to please people that we know well, don't we? I want you to consider verse number 6 now of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, but without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this isn't the same example that I just gave, because I could give examples of can please or might please or please more or please less with God. The Bible says, absolutely, without faith, no person can please him at all. Now, that sets it a real high priority, doesn't it? That means if you do not have faith, there is no pleasing God. This goes beyond simply just the concept of, boy, I'm saved, thank God. Now it goes beyond this, and it says if we want to please God in our Christian life, we must exercise faith as well. It gives us another example, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of the house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Then we find by faith, Abraham, in verse number 8. We find by faith Abraham once again in verse 17. By faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith verse 23 Moses. And so we find that there are great Old Testament examples of faith, and then the Lord gives us a big list in verse number 32. But what shall I say more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets. And so we find quite a list. And by the way, so far, all of these are New Testament or Old Testament examples. Old Testament examples. This word only used twice in the Old Testament is exemplified throughout the entirety of the Old Testament. So though a Jew might have not had this concept of faith, in the book of Hebrews, he is showing that all throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, faith is the critical element from the beginning until the end of the Old Testament, even into the days that we live. And so we find the correlation of faith from the Old Testament and to the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, the idea of faith is linked to truth, right? In the New Testament, what is it linked to? Hebrews 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by, the word of God. So once again, our faith is connected, both Old Testament, New Testament, to truth, correct? And so that truth would be the absolute truth of the word of God. Now, that's important, because if you and I are going to be a man or a woman of faith, we need to be ones that understand the basis of our faith. I've met some people that have taken the saying of Jesus and said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it will be done. And I've seen people try to take the idea of faith and use it as a means by which to have like a wishing fountain. And they say, well, if I just want it bad enough, or I have enough faith, God's going to give me what I want. Now, there's a problem with that. Remember, faith is connected to what? Truth and the Word of God. And so, if we treat faith like the idea is, well, if I believe hard enough, God's going to give me what I want, that's a dangerous territory. I remember there was a family many years ago when I was in youth group. And I remember a Sunday school teacher, they only had one child as a son, and he had gotten leukemia. Now his leukemia, he was now in his, I believe, early 20s or so with the leukemia, and they were praying, the whole church was praying, and they were asking that God would deliver him from the leukemia. And I remember him even coming to the Sunday school class and said that God had told them that God was going to heal their son from leukemia. So, but I don't know how, he didn't really explain how, he said he had this feeling in prayer or whatever the case that God was definitely going to answer his prayer. He got a word from the Lord, that he said was a word from the Lord, and that God was definitely going to heal their son. And they were so confident. I mean, if you were to say to anybody had faith that God was going to heal their son, it was this couple. I mean, and they were as faithful as could be to church. They were always leaders in the church, always doing things. And then the moment came when the son passed away. Now, the son passed away. It nearly devastated and shipwrecked their faith. Their whole world was thrown upside down. I mean, they were fully convinced that God was going to do this, and their son didn't. And so now their whole idea of God was all twisted in their mind, and they were having a hard time. And here was the struggle with it all. Do we believe God simply when he does what we want him to do? No. God may heal, God may not. The one thing we are absolutely sure of, God is able to heal, isn't he? Yeah. Remember the three that went into the fiery furnace? Their attitude was, be it known unto thee, O king, God is able to deliver us. But if not, if he doesn't deliver us, let it be known we were not bow down nor worship the golden image you have set up. I'm paraphrasing. But you understand their attitude was the right attitude. They believed, they had faith that God could, absolutely. But they put themselves into the hands of God and said, whatever God does is fine. Their faith was shown and proven because whether God would deliver or not, they were not going to change. They were going to be steadfast. They were going to be faithful. They're going to be full of faith, believing God. And so we see the idea of faith should not be abused to the concept of a wishing fountain. How should faith be dealt with as we come to conclusion and do some practicality? Get to my notes here. Okay. Faith must be real or it must be genuine. We've already talked about how it comes from the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But this same faith must also be proven. Turn with me as we close and finish up Sunday school lesson to James chapter 2. If I left you in Hebrews, you're real close. James chapter 2, verse number 14. Here the Bible says, what doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. For thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works also is dead. Are any of you familiar with Martin Luther King? All right, and nailing his theses to the wall in Wittenberg, Germany. And he had a problem with the book of James. In fact, he even took it out and placed it as an appendix to the scriptures instead of part of the canon of the scriptures. And his problem was a passage I just read. You see, he was fighting against the Catholic Church, which taught works, 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 works. You're saved by what you do. Good works outweigh your bad works and various things, following all of the traditions. And so he was against it. He found out that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it is for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Many people in a Catholic organization will point to the book of James and say, hey, that's it. The salvation is by works. And so he got so frustrated with it, he moved it from the scripture. He should not have, absolutely. And because of what he was dealing with, he had a misunderstanding. But we understand as believers, what is faith based on? Truth, right? It's based on the Word of God. And this is what we find applied here in the book of James and in the book of Hebrews. The book of James is telling us faith without works is dead. Did you notice in the book of Hebrews, when God spoke of their faith, everything that is written about them is their actions? Did you notice that? By faith, Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark. That's action, isn't it? Yeah. Did you notice that Abraham was commanded by God, and he did it. It says that Moses, being a man of faith, instead of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughters, he moved. All of these people we find in the Old Testament examples of faith all refer to their walk with God or their action of faith that is demonstrated. And so we find here this concept of faith without works is dead, is that it's not enough to say something. Your faith, which should be based upon the Word of God, is absolutely necessary that it has actions to demonstrate that faith. Otherwise, the question is that faith even real faith? And so, here's the question. If somebody makes a profession of faith, but yet they don't follow the book, would you have cause to doubt whether that profession is genuine or not? Oh, I think you would have cause. God knows those that are His children. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom receiveth. If you go without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're illegitimate, meaning you're not really God's child. So a genuine child of God is going to demonstrate their faith. Take the next verse of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, now verse number 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So we were made to work out our faith. Now, as we were saved by faith, even so our lives should be lived by faith. How do we live our lives by faith? Well, we do what we know the Word of God tells us to do. And sometimes it puts us in a difficult situation with somebody, and we say, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to do what God says, and I'll leave the results to Him. If we're ever pressured by government or by society, does that ever happen today? Yeah. Did it ever happen in the New Testament that government pressured Christians? It surely did. What did Peter and John say? We ought to obey God rather than man when they were told they couldn't preach anymore. Why? They were people of faith that believe what God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And someone tells you you can't preach, they said, hey, I got to obey God rather than man. That's an action of faith. And so when we decide for ourselves, hey, I'm not going to allow these kinds of things into my home. Why? Because I believe the Bible, I'm acting on faith. When God tells me, hey, that a man's a man and a woman's a woman, male and female, and I say, that's just the way it is, because that's what God says. I'm acting on faith. I'm not allowing the pressures of the world to change me. And so we ought to be men and women of faith. Hope the study was a blessing to you. Old Testament, New Testament. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to give a Sunday school lesson in faith. Lord, I pray it'd be a help to someone in need. Well, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.